From the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas, it's the Bombastic Blogcast for Friday, January 3rd, 2025. I am the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
There yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, the kid with the patriotic red, white, and blue eyes, and one heck of a nice guy. And since it is Friday, let's do the Hawaiian Shirt Friday fight song. Sing it loud and sing it proud. Here we go. Ah, wasn't that refreshing? Truly the sweetest sound this side of heaven. Now, let's get things officially launched with...
The Daily Datagram!
Yep, words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. It says here, never underestimate the power of stupid people in large groups. Oh. Yeah. You may want to start with your government, huh? Especially when they're backed by a powerful pack.
You're despicable.
Let's move along now to the so-called educational part of this big blogcast.
Twisted History.
This is it.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Oh, to be sure.
Some cool, some not so cool. Just the same, you need to know your Twisted History.
All right.
You might be quizzed.
Yeah, sure, that's going to happen. Well, kids, it was on this day in 1870, construction work began on the Brooklyn Bridge in New York. It opened 13 years later. It's been in constant service ever since 1883. And more remarkably, it's been sold hundreds of times to hundreds of unsuspecting and very gullible tourists over the years. And it was on this day in 1947, proceedings of the U.S. Congress were televised for the first time, although no one knows why. And as absurd as the idea may sound, the cable TV industry founded C-SPAN in 1979 for this specific purpose. And again, no one knows why.
Just smile and wave, boys. Smile and wave.
We have an American treasure working for us in the body of Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana. This guy is just absolutely a treasure. Pardon the redundancy. But the man is very folksy, got a great sense of humor, but he's not to be trifled with. And Wednesday, he made it very clear that he was going to press the FBI for answers about this New Orleans terrorist attack. And what drives him, of course, is probably the same thing that has prompted people like you and me not to trust the government. And that's the fact that there have been so many past government security failures. First of all, anybody to be shocked by what happened in New Orleans and then subsequently in Las Vegas, I think, has been living under a rock. That border of ours, that southern border of ours, and the northern border as well, because it would be a good idea for do-bads to come in through the northern border, because supposedly the southern border is at least being watched. If we're not stopping anybody, at least we're watching it. And these borders have been open. It would be foolish not to assume that a lot of do-bads are coming across these borders with the intention of doing harm to the United States of America and the people of America. So John Kennedy is taking the information that he's getting from the government with a grain of salt. And again, this fella has been identified, the do-bad. He was 42 years old. His name is Shamsuddin Jabbar. Now, naturally, the mainstream media wanted to make it clear that he was born and raised in the United States. He was a U.S. citizen. But the name Shamsuddin Jabbar, doesn't that raise at least, if not a red flag, maybe a pink flag? Doesn't that kind of give your subconscious reason for caution? So, you know the story. He drove his pickup truck into a crowd of people there on Bourbon Street just off of Canal. And in doing so, he killed 15 people and wounded, seriously wounded, scores more. And John Kennedy went on Fox News Channel with Aisha Hosni, who was the anchor at the time, and this was on Wednesday evening.
There are a lot of folks in this country tonight that are afraid of what's happening in New Orleans. And I know that you're trying to get answers tonight as police search for other potential suspects, possible co-conspirators tonight. By all accounts, with this new surveillance video we have now, with what we're learning from police, this sounds to be some sort of sleeper cell, a terrorist cell on U.S. soil. Is that what you're hearing?
Well, Aisha, there's a fine line between anger and grief, and I'm pretty much straddling that line right now. If you don't believe in objective evil, all you need to do is go walk about 30 or 40 yards that way. We've still got bodies on the ground. That's one of the reasons we postponed the game. I'm here for two reasons. Number one, these are my people, and these are my people's guests. Number two, I don't want to hear from anybody in the federal government that they don't have the resources. Now, the White House, the FBI, Justice, Homeland Security are in charge now. We're cooperating with them. I want to give them a reasonable period of time. There's a lot of information out there. Some of it is actually true. I want to give them a reasonable period of time, but they need to saddle up and ride. We need to find out what happened here, and it's not going to be covered up. We're going to tell the American people exactly what happened, and that's why I'm down here.
Yeah.
We know a lot more than what's being reported, Aisha, okay. But they are in the middle of an active investigation, and I don't want to do anything to screw it up.
The esteemed Senator Kennedy is a member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, and he later expressed concern that the FBI wasn't telling him everything. And quoting him, he says, "You just never know what they're not telling us. But I know how to probe very hard to get the information. I'm not interested in placing blame or saying who was right or wrong. I just want to catch these sons of bitches who did this." And then Aisha Hosni asked Kennedy if other cities could be targets. And he said, "I can't answer that." And then, after a little pause, he said, "Well, I can, but I won't. But you know, it would be safe to assume that other cities would be targets." Now, again, let me bring up Las Vegas. That Tesla truck that was blown up right in front of the Trump Hotel and Casino there. So Kennedy noted the failure of the Secret Service, once again, to prevent the assassination attempt on Donald Trump. And that was up there in Butler, PA on July 13th. You remember that? And to that, he said, "I sat there and watched a 21-year-old kid outsmart the entire Secret Service of the United States and almost kill a former president who is soon to be current president, and we still don't have information. And that's not going to happen this time." Now, Biden said on Wednesday that authorities in Las Vegas are also investigating the explosion of that electric vehicle in front of that was the Trump International Hotel in Vegas. And Tesla CEO Elon Musk posted on X that the company confirmed the cause of the explosion was a bomb placed in the Tesla Cybertruck. So what do we do in the meantime? Oh, we just stand by. Just stand by and wait for answers. The government is looking into this. You'll have to excuse me, but at the moment, I'm still trying to decide whether or not this shocks me. Because for the last, five, 6 decades, I've been watching our public school systems across the United States. And don't get me wrong, not all of them are bad. But during my lifetime, I've watched the dumbing down of public school students. And you have no one to blame, no one other than the teachers' unions. You know, you look at a YouTube video of Randy Weingarten, president of, National Federation of Teachers? Or is she with the, never mind, it doesn't matter. She's head of one of the big teachers' unions. And this gal is, she's frightening. She's outright frightening. She never gives a speech where she doesn't start raising her arms shortly after she begins the speech. She starts raising her arms and they're flailing all over the place and she's yelling. And, that ought to tell you something right there. I wish someone would do a very public psychological profile on her. But I've been watching this dumbing down, and the blame goes strictly on these teachers' unions. And now we got word, thanks to the Daily Caller, that a New Jersey law that removes a requirement for teachers to pass a reading, writing, and mathematics test for certification is going to go into effect. In fact, it already has, because what? Today is the 3rd. It went into effect New Year's Day. Now, the law, which is known as Act 1669, was passed by the governor over there, who's a Democrat, Phil Murphy. And it was passed as part of the state's 2025 budget. And this was actually passed back in June in an effort to address a shortage of teachers in the state. So according to the New Jersey Monitor, individuals seeking an instructional certificate will no longer need to pass a basic skills test administered by the state's Commissioner of Education. Wow. Shortage of teachers. Why do we have a shortage of teachers? Well, they're probably not getting paid enough. That's one place to start. But when you have a labor union boss who's filling propaganda in one side of your head, and then you have school administrators and parents filling the other side of your head with pressure to do better, yeah, you see what, you have kind of a critical mass that takes place there. So Democratic Senator Jim Beach, who sponsored the bill, according to the New Jersey Monitor, said, we need more teachers. This is the best way to get them. Yeah, Jim, great idea. Just bring in all kinds of unqualified babysitters. Let's call them what they are. Because if you're not qualified to teach, you're not a teacher. You're a babysitter. You're a warehouseman. Now, New Jersey is especially in need of math and science teachers, according to an annual report from the state's own education department. Just months earlier, Murphy signed a similar bill into law that created an alternative pathway for teachers to sidestep the testing requirement. So let's dumb down our students even more. You know, so you have this powerful teachers' union, the New Jersey Education Association. It was driving the driving force behind the bill, calling the testing requirement an unnecessary barrier to entering the profession. Really? Unnecessary? Yeah, don't you think that doctors, for instance, let's take surgeons, don't you think they need to pass occasional recertification of their specialty? Wow. Now, teachers in New Jersey are paid an average of $81,102. And that, again, is according to the National Education Association. Man, makes you wonder, doesn't it? I mean, 81 grand, and you're a professional, you're trying to support a family on that, especially in a state like New Jersey, where the cost of living is so much higher. And the state followed the example of New York, which scrapped basic literacy requirements for teachers in 2017 in the name of diversity. See, and that's always the excuse for dumbing people down. You're going to dumb down the teachers? Well, we need to accommodate minorities who aren't as sharp as white people. My God, what a condescending attitude to take, and how insulting to people of color. Now, you've got other states like California and Arizona also having lowered their requirements for teacher certification, and the way they did it was implementing fast-track options for substitute teachers to become full-time educators and eliminating exam requirements in order to make up for shortages in the field that were worsened by COVID. And that's according to the National Conference of State Legislatures. So as students are struggling these days to regain learning losses caused by all those school closures during the pandemic, some states like Massachusetts have opted to lower testing requirements for students in order to allow more to pass through rather than make up for the lost education. So what are we going to do then? We're just going to pass this problem on to future employers who are going to hire somebody based on their resume only to put them on the job and find out they can't do the job? Is that what we're going to do? Oh, that's going to be real good for our economy. Now, teachers' unions continue to hold major bargaining power as I speak in some blue states, pushing legislation that protects teachers despite their failure to improve learning outcomes. Now, only about half of New York students in grades 3 through 8 tested as proficient in English and math in the 22 to 23 school year, despite the state spending almost twice the national average on education and New York teachers remaining some of the highest paid in the country. I think Chicago tops them. Yeah, let's just throw more money at it. Let's not try to do better. Let's just throw more money at it. Murphy's office, Governor Murphy there in New Jersey, his office didn't immediately respond to the Daily Caller News Foundation's request for comment. What does that tell you? The brother of the terrorist who launched that attack there on Bourbon Street, New Orleans, says that radicalization is to blame for his rampage. Abdur-Jabbar, who's 24, lives in Beaumont, Texas. It's about an hour east of Houston. Told the New York Times that his brother, Shamsuddin Jabbar, killed at least 15 people, that's today's count, in that New Year's Day attack, converted to Islam at an early age. Now, what constitutes an early age? Well, I don't know, but the younger Jabbar told the newspaper that what his brother did doesn't represent Islam. And this is more some type of radicalization, not religion. Now, Abdur described the brother who was killed by police at the scene. I don't know if a lot of people know that, but he was killed. He was not taken into custody. And anyhow, he described his brother as a sweetheart, really, a nice guy, a friend, really smart, caring, according to the Times. Now, I would have to say, this is the impression you get if you look at his earlier videos, especially his videos when he was a real estate agent. He looked like a likable guy, which, I don't know, it doesn't exactly comfort me. Yeah. But in videos posted to his Facebook page prior to the attack, Shamsuddin Jabbar, this is the terrorist, pledged allegiance to ISIS. Did this on Facebook. And what amazes me is Facebook supposedly has all of these safeguards in place so that you don't violate their community standards. Well, where were they when he posted this stuff about pledging allegiance to ISIS? He also confessed that he planned on murdering his family in one of the videos. Now, this guy's been divorced twice. He had two daughters, 15 and 20, with his ex-wife, Nikedra Charlie, or Charl. And that, again, is according to the New York Times. Now, this guy, Shamsuddin, was driving while recording those videos, and authorities believe that the could have been recorded while he was on the road to Louisiana. There's a lot of concrete between Houston and New Orleans. It's a five-hour drive. And if you take the most direct route, you will take I-10 all the way to Baton Rouge, and then you take I-12 until you get to, what is that? That would be I-10 again, because I-12 goes to the Slidell, and I-10... just east of Baton Rouge, takes kind of a southward move and goes directly, oh man, there's some scenic driving there through the swamps and across the western edge of Lake Pontchartrain, and then takes you into New Orleans. Anyhow, didn't mean to sidetrack you there, but he was recording these videos as he's driving along, so there are a lot of stretches of that I-10 where there's not a whole lot of traffic, and you could do that sort of thing, So they figured that these videos were shot on his trip between Houston and New Orleans. Now, the feds don't believe that he acted alone. So, yeah, I get the idea that this guy, who, by the way, had a very squalid home, we'll tell you about that in a minute, but I don't get the idea that this guy was raking in a lot of money. So in order to pull off this kind of an attack, he had to have some help. How many people were behind that help? Hey, it's anybody's guess. But again, he was flying an ISIS flag attached to the back of this Ford F-150 EV pickup truck. And the death count right now is at 15. Jeez. All right, what else do we know about this guy, Shamsuddin Jabbar? I think I mentioned that he's 42 years old, and he's actually from Houston. And he had an ISIS flag strapped to that Ford truck. We mentioned that earlier. Let's take a look into his home. What do you say? apparently, he lived in very squalid conditions. And apparently, for some reason, it'll be interesting to find out why, but he went from success to this squalid Houston trailer park where sheep roamed his yard. I think there's an ordinance in Houston against that, but hey, what do I know? And then again, he may not have lived in Houston proper, but he served in the Army for more than 10 years, and he deployed to Afghanistan before he carried out his attack. He worked as an IT specialist. He was stationed in Afghanistan from February of 2009 until January of 2010. And that's all been confirmed by the Army. Let's see, what else do we know about him? He served active duty from March of 2007 until January of 2015 and was a reservist from January of 15 until July of 20. And then he left the service at the rank of staff sergeant, according to the Army. What is that, E5? Something like that. Anyhow, in a YouTube video that he posted in 2020 for his real estate business, he looks very clean-cut, and he described himself as a reliable, trustworthy native Texan who spent 10 years in the military, which taught him the meaning of great service. But when he carried out the attack, which actually goes down in history as one of the deadliest since 9/11, he lived in this squalid trailer park. Oh, I only saw a couple of photos of it. It looks pretty bleak. And yeah, it's on the outskirts of Houston. And the area where he was living is home to mostly Muslim immigrants. And it's all there. Geese, chickens, sheep. I would imagine they're used as food. I don't know. If these are Muslim immigrants, they're probably the lowest of the low when it comes to living conditions. One neighbor said that she spoke only in Urdu, which is Pakistan's national language. The neighborhood's also within walking distance of a local mosque, the Masjid Bilal, where no one answered the phone. So, wow. Who made the phone calls? None other than the New York Post. Law enforcement sources said that they found videos that Jabbar made where he referenced the Quran. He traveled to Egypt for 10 days last year. And apparently, by mid-afternoon, after the attack, the feds swooped in, and they actually kicked a bunch of journalists out of the area.
Get out of here, scram, beat it.
Dozens of cops and their vehicles swarmed the entire neighborhood, including an armored military-style truck. I don't know that that's such a good idea. Of course, I was never in law enforcement, but if you want to find out more and you want to gain the confidence of the people who live in that neighborhood, which I'm sure is not an easy thing to do, them living in the conditions they are, having come from where they did, do you really want to go in like a brass band with all of the SWAT vehicles and stuff? Now, initially, residents were allowed past the barriers, although some of the media there heard one agent telling a family to take your kids and leave. And apparently there were some bullhorns being used by some of the cops. And some of the journalists who were in attendance there said they heard, get your hands up. Now, in brief conversations before the lockdown of this neighborhood, his neighbors seemed to know very little about him. Now get a load of this. Guy's name is Francois Venegas. Described Jabbar as a simple person who kept to himself, though they would occasionally exchange words on the street. I guess this is another tribute to Houston's diversity, huh? But Francois said he was pretty quiet, just walking. He would say hello, hola, and that was it. So this is kind of interesting. You look into the guy's background, this guy Jabbar. He'd been arrested twice, once in Katy, Texas, which is just west of Houston. It's on the western edge of Houston. He was arrested in 2002 for theft, and that's according to court records. And again, 3 years later for driving without a valid license. He's also been divorced twice. I think we mentioned that earlier. And the failed marriage or marriages apparently left him in financial ruin. Well, that's certainly understandable. His first wife sued him for child support payments in 2012. And amid his second divorce in 2022, he said he'd racked up more than $16,000 in credit card debt, paying court fees and expenses for a second home, according to an email to his ex-wife's lawyer. He said he just apparently wrote in this letter, he says, I can't afford the house payments. And he added that his real estate business suffered more than $28,000 in losses in the previous year. Now, his first wife, Nikedra Jabbar, has since remarried, and she and her new hubby are cooperating with investigators. And her husband's father, Nelson Marsh Sr., has been talking with the media, kind of filling in what details he can get. So this is an ongoing story, obviously, but it's going to be really interesting to find out more about this guy. How did he get to the point where he wanted to do mass murder? Who prodded him to do it? Because, I don't know, there's something about the guy's personality that I detected in one of the videos that tells me he didn't think of this himself. Let's move on over to the comedy corner and Kellen Erskine.
Have a new dentist. So I tried something new the first time I went. I told him that I was scared of the dentist just to see if he would treat me differently, and he didn't. They don't care. The thing is, I'm not scared of the dentist. I just hate the dentist, but you can't say that. It would be nice, though, just once. How cathartic would that be? He comes into the room. So how are you doing? I hate you. So much. I hate everything that's metal in this room. I hate what you've chosen to do with your life. I'll have grape. By the way, if you're a dentist, would you stop asking us how often we floss? You know. It's your job to know. Stop with the power move. I don't know why it matters to you. My root canal's paying off your Tesla. You shouldn't want me to floss. If I were a dentist, I'd be the richest dentist because everyone would love me because I wouldn't ask you questions. I treat you all like adults. I'd be on your side. Like, yeah, mouthwash burns. I don't use it either. Ugh. Anyway, that'll be $8,000. I'll see you next week. Grab a cookie on the way out. They're from Chick-fil-A. I'm a philanthropist. So. Hey, if you work for Apple... I'm going to put so much pressure on you that at some point someone's just going to explode. I'm holding in a cough. No, it's probably okay. You're fine. As long as you have your shots. How about I unify the crowd with a rant on vaccines, huh? If you work for Apple or Android, would you stop improving the phones? I think we did it. We can do stuff on phones that we never even dreamed to ask for. You can wave your phone in front of a vending machine and it'll give you chips. I didn't see that in Back to the Future 2. You can post a sentence to the world and make yourself permanently unhireable. We have... I think we've covered it. I just wish these companies would now pool all of their resources together and finally create an unbreakable phone. How has that not been the priority these last 15 years that I've been trying to hold on to a $1,000 computer that's shaped like a slippery bar of soap? Also, Apple, if you're still listening, could you put little arms and legs on my phone so the next time I drop it between the car seats... they can crawl back out to me.
Have a terrific weekend. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on Monday's bombastic blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And you be sure to take some time this weekend just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?